Oops. I'm arguing against the annihilation theory that all of this earth and what the atoms and everything are destroyed, and he goes back to Genesis 1 when he creates ex nihilo out of nothing. Out of nothing. He spoke and it was here. He created because he spoke. He didn't need to start with something to create something else like people do. He could just speak it into existence. And the argument is that he annihilates this heaven and this earth, and then creates the new heaven and new earth
out of nothing,
like he did originally. He creates the new one out of nothing, speaks it into existence as he did in the original one. And that's why, because it's going to be burned, it's going to be resurfaced, it's going to be changed completely.
It may be flat.
it may be flat. I can't even argue that. I'm sorry, Bob. You just have to speak out, Bob. I'm sorry.
The whole premise that you laid forward here was incorrect, because you said if the entire earth is so corrupted and so sinful that God can't restore it. And that's an unsecular, because there's nothing that God can't restore.
I agree. I threw that out there as I don't believe that God couldn't restore this earth. And I don't think anybody else really believes that God couldn't restore it. The question is, why wouldn't he? Why would he start all over again? Why wouldn't he restore this earth versus just annihilate this one and start over again? When, like, a verse like Acts chapter 3, verse 21, says when he brings everything to restoration, or he restores everything. We looked in Romans chapter 8 where it talks about the earth is groaning to be released from the bondage that it's under right now. The passage about God restoring it. One of my biggest hang-ups with the annihilation theory, I guess, is Genesis chapter 13, verses 14 and 15, where God has Abraham, after Abraham and Lot had gone their separate ways, and God then takes Abraham up to the hill, and then he says, you know, look west, look east, look north, look south. Everything that you see is yours and your descendants forever. And that's my question. If he destroys earth, annihilates it, even though he could create another one that would look identical, it's still not the same one. But if he takes the earth that is now, and he can still give them that land that he promised them forever, because it's still the same earth, it's just been restored. Absolutely, and I think it will look better. Look at we talked about a couple weeks ago, Mount St. Helens, when it erupted and the lava and everything that destroyed that area. And now you go there and look, and it's the earth has within itself a system to restore itself. And the area, what they believed would take decades to return, is an amazing area now. There's still remnants of the. Volcano, but it's still it's turned into a beautiful area. Connie?
By no more seas, does it mean just no more salt water? Or
yes.
No,
maybe. Uh-huh. I don't know we know there'll be a river. The river of life will be flowing. So we know there's at least one river. Yes.
But then all the saltwater beings will be able to he can change in the fresh water.
But, it, you know, we don't know the magnitude of what... It says there'll be no more seas if you look in Revelation.
All that is going to be dead anyways because it's going to, you know, it's going to be something in place and stuff, right?
That'll be through the tribulation as you see all the plagues and everything that has happened there. But... that will all, I think all of it, the whole earth will be restored. There, I don't know that there'll be any remnant of the curse at all. Well, there won't be any remnant of the curse on earth anymore. It'll be gone. Now, what they mean by, or what God means by there'll be no more seas, I don't know, because in the original creation, there was water. There was some kind of sea or ocean that the animals were in to a degree. You know, I don't know how much bigger the oceans are now because of the flood when he, you know, brought the curtain of water down onto the earth and released it from the inside. You know, so I don't know how much more water is on the land now than originally when before the flood. But there were definitely some kind of bodies of water for fish and that to be in. And I think none of us are arguing that he can't. I think the question is why? Why would he annihilate and not? Why would he destroy this one, annihilate this one, and start over again? Is the question? Not that he couldn't. Absolutely, he could. He could do whatever he wants with this earth and whatnot. So it's not an issue of can't. It's an issue of why, I think, is more the question we're asking. Is if he...
Because he can.
So now that we've talked about all of these verses that seem to kind of indicate restoration, let me bring one more verse in here. Because this is what I love doing. Let's look at Revelation chapter 21. Verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away. This is where we get the passage, and there is no longer any sea. If he didn't put in there, the first heaven and the first earth passed away, I could just easily say, well, we talk about, you know, the new heaven and new earth being restored or whatnot. But he says the first heaven and the first earth passed away, which kind of implies that there's a second. After I've done argued the other side for a while, I was just surprised no one brought this verse out. So I figured I better throw it in the mix here to keep things going. This is the only verse that I struggle with when I look at a restoration. This one is the one that I can't quite wrap my head around, because there's enough verses that talk about restoration and redemption of the world that seems to imply a restoration, not a recreate or not a new. But this verse here, if there was a first, it seems to imply that there's a second. Pastor Craig?
Yeah, just there actually is probably another passage, and it's in Revelation, and I'm just, I don't know exactly which chapter it's in.
I don't have a cross reference here.
Yeah. And there's just... Oh, okay. There we go. I knew it was there close. But I don't have my glasses, so anyway. But the new heaven, and you know, John chapter 14 seems to indicate that the place that Jesus is going to prepare for us is something that he is creating specifically for us, out of something that isn't in existence right now.
I think you almost have to go back to the original Greek to see what the various words actually meant.
And there's an important part of doing the Greek study and whatnot. But I think for the most part, the translators and whatnot have done a good job of trying to stay accurate. with the original.
If it passed away, could mean a number of different things.
And that's where the research and all of that is important, because you know we talk about believers passing away. We know that their first death or the passing away is just into eternal life. And that would be easy to explain, that because we're new creations. He didn't annihilate us and start with something new. He took what we are, and he calls us a new creation even though we're still sinful. So if he took the old and annihilated it and gave us a new spirit that's different than the one we had, why would he give us a new spirit that is still sinful? So he's in us being a new creation. It's a process of maturity, eventually, where eventually we'll be sinless. But he didn't annihilate. I don't believe he annihilated our old spirit and gave us a different, newer spirit. If that makes sense. I don't believe you do. I'm just bringing that into the argument of being a new creation.
Yeah, and the new creation is actually speaking of a new nature.
Yeah.
It's not, we're not two individuals, it's not two personalities, it's we have the old sinful nature, and once we trust in Christ, we now have a new sinful nature that is able to please God.
Yeah.
It's still us. It's still us.
And that's the argument when he calls us a new creation. He didn't annihilate us and make us new. And so that's the argument with a new heaven and a new earth. He can make it new without annihilating it. Although there are verses like we brought up. I'm only arguing this from one side here. And more just to get us thinking and discussing than anything else. And that's my question with the other side. Toward what end? Why would he destroy the earth? What purpose? Why does he destroy it? Where do you see in Scripture that God annihilates anything and start it all over again with something different? Almost everything he does, and I could be wrong, but everything he does is about restoration. And so my question is exactly the same one on both sides. Toward what end? Why would he annihilate and start again? And if he does, what happens to the promise to Abraham? That he said that he would have that land forever, because we believe that Christ is going to sit on the throne forever. We don't believe that that's going to end at the annihilation of this earth. Christ will always have that. So that's forever. That promise goes on and on and on and on forever. So why would there be an end to the promise to Abraham if they're promised that land forever? And that's where my conflict comes in, is God promised Abraham that land and to his descendants forever.
Well, the seed portion of that promise is different.
Will there not be the nation of Israel forever? Will Abraham not have a descendants there forever?
No, what he's saying is when he said, look to the north, look to the south, east and west, everything you see, since there were seeds.
Oh, you didn't say seed? You said seed.
Yeah,
his the seed being his descendants. They'll be there. Abraham will always have a remnant. He'll be there. I don't think the nation of Israel is gone or ends.
Well, we current heaven, would he destroy what we know as heaven right now?
Because there's no sin or anything in present heaven.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
so
would he just destroy all that?
That's on a completely different plane. You're in a different dimension.
But I'm just making a point that
you're talking about the heavens and the universe. What we see is the celestial.
Is he? I'm just. Shirley's just glaring at me now.
Because you're talking about go back to the new creation. What's happened is yes, we have the old nature, but the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is we now have Ephesians. Everything says we have our position already in heaven, and what's happening is we're just having to go through this life, but we are going to become completely new in the glorified bodies. Mm-hmm. We're totally different. We're remade at that point. So
you right now do not have eternal life. It's your future body, your future spirit that has eternal life. See what I'm saying? See what I'm saying is if he, and I shouldn't say that. I'm Jeff absolutely has eternal life, but God promises you and your spirit eternal life. He doesn't promise your future spirit eternal life. But why your physical body is your physical body has eternal life. You will have your physical body forever. It's going to be a restored body.
It'll
be fixed. It won't have sin. It won't have the curse. But you right now, your spirit has eternal life. He's not going to get rid of that spirit. But I think your physical body here has eternal life as well. When we're regenerated, restored, renewed, all these R words that we've been looking at apply to our humanness, and I'm taking them and applying them to the earth as well as we look at these different verses that seem to indicate that. And I'm arguing this in the sense, I tell you right now, I'm not 100% convinced of restoration because of these verses that talk about the first heaven, them being gone. I'm more doing this so that it's a thinking. It's a let's dig into scripture. And who was it, Jeff, at the very beginning you said, what does it matter? Ultimately, what God decides to do, God decides to do, and it's his will and he'll do it. But it's more a discussion and a thinker to get us thinking and digging. And I love it that you guys have dug in and found other verses that we haven't. You're using your Bible, and you're looking and you're digging, and ultimately that's why I do this, is not because I'm trying to hammer my point and say I'm right, because I'm not convinced one way or the other yet as I've been doing this study, but I do this because you guys are getting into the Word of God and looking for it and trying to figure it out along with me. So I don't if it's not about having a heated discussion or getting too intense. It's about getting us digging into God's Word and searching it in this particular realm, studying about heaven.
I had never thought about it. It made me think of another way to look at it. And like you said, I don't know one way or the other, and I know you're saying you don't either, but it just kind of makes you curious and want to get in the Word and try to find. But I never thought about this earth being restored. I thought we're getting a brand spanking new.
Yeah. And there's a lot. John lent me a theology book that I read through it, and the author of that book believes that it's a new earth. But in his writing, he wasn't really writing about or trying to defend it. So he just says that it will be a new earth, and that this one will pass away in the sense of annihilation. But he doesn't defend why. And that's my question to that side of it, is why. And maybe I'm just asking too many questions. But it's the same question Tom had to me, as why? To what end? Why does he restore it? Why not just start all over again? And I don't know that other than I don't see in Scripture where God annihilates anything and starts over again. From the beginning, it's been about restoring our fellowship, restoring our relationship in that we have eternal life, and so it's, you see that restoration, that regeneration there. He started, but he restored. He destroyed and wiped out the face of the earth, but he didn't annihilate. He kept everything. And
doesn't he talk about the time of flood?
He talks about destroying the surface of the earth, and destroying what was on it. But it wasn't annihilated in the sense that it doesn't exist anymore. You know, the people that were there, the wickedness were destroyed, but their spirit is in Hades awaiting that eternal judgment. Anyway, Jim, that's in the new heaven, new earth. When he brings down the new Jerusalem comes out, and that's where heaven and earth are become one place. And next week we'll get into it as we begin to discuss our relationship. I will not take this discussion past today. Yes, in the restoration theory is that God is not going to annihilate this earth. He will burn the surface of the earth and the judgment that goes along with that, but then restore it to the eternal heaven. And when heaven and earth are then joined together, and the city of Jerusalem comes down and sits on the earth, and that's where we will dwell with God forever. Everything. Yeah. So, anyway. We will, and anyway, this wasn't a Sunday school class to bring up argument. It was to discuss, and like I said, to really just get us digging and using the Word of God to really research and understand why. And I don't know the answer, but I don't want you guys to just go, well, that's what Dave said. That's what Randy said. Randy Alcorn said that this is the way it is, and so it must be. And it's an important tool that we use, what other people think and what the study they've done. But ultimately, it boils down to, you know, us studying God's word and coming up with an answer, and using the tools around us and the people around us that have studied before and study aids to make sure that the path we're going on is a correct path, is a correct interpretation of Scripture. But you know, it's using God's word to defend what we believe and to dig in and study and learn how to use our Bible. I love it seeing you guys just all heads buried in the Word of God, trying to find one verse to show that I'm wrong. That's good. We're studying and we're getting into God's Word and we're learning. And Jeff, I had to take that back because I the way that came out just did not sound right at all. Jeff has. Jeff is saved, and Jeff will spend eternity with us in heaven. And so
I'll be sweeping the floors.
we've got 3 minutes. Tom, did you have one more?
Be sure that whenever we study God's word, it's got to be done. never-changing God, an omnipotent, omnipresent God that we're trying to relegate to understanding, to be able to be, to justify all this discussion for the sake of getting into Scripture, wonderful, except that we just can't walk by the fact that God is so far beyond us, and our and His righteousness and purity, and I can't even put words to it, because it's impossible to get an understanding of all that is in the future, and the Bible is so limited in terms of what it tells us, except for who He is, and the fact that we are already declared righteous, we're already seated with Him in the heavenlies, we are eternal, and anyway, yes, don't forget God's...
And that's all part of using it to study, and you got to dig into God's Word to see His character as well. We got to be in God's Word, and it's living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so, digging in and studying is important. And like I said, there's so many other resources to make sure that we stay on the right direction. Yeah.
It does make us think and have to go in and really study.
So to always remember that His ways are not our ways.
We are finite. He is infinite. And next week we will get into our relationship with God in eternal heaven. And that, I think, is kind of where we get to the climax of our study.
How many weeks do we have of this?
We will be done January 13th. So... I am teaching next week. Bobby is teaching the week after that. And then I have two more Sundays, I believe, and then we'll be done. Actually, so I think that's the way it's going to lay out for the next couple of weeks.
Because
when are you going to be done with this? So anyway, let me close in prayer. And next week we will get into our relationship with God in eternal heaven. Father, we thank You for who You are. As Tom has said this morning, Your character is perfect, and You love us, an imperfect people. And thank You for providing a means of salvation for us so that we can spend eternity with You. And we look forward to eternity and all that will be there and all that we will do, and worship You and being in Your presence, and we look forward to that, and I just look forward to next week that we would be able to just spend a little time studying about You in heaven and our relationship with You there, and that's an exciting thing to think about. And so just guide and direct, we pray now, in the remainder of our time together as we just worship You through song and the studying of Your Word as Pastor Craig teaches. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen.